If you have a Bible, you might want to turn with you, with me, I'll turn with you to Isaiah 49. Last Sunday, I was watching the football game. Is anybody else watching the football game? Oh, quite a few, yes. Yeah, that was Go Lions, Go. And I, at the very end of when it was all over, Wally Buono, they interviewed him. I presume it was national TV. They said, what's your take on all this win that you had and good things that happened here today in the stadium? And he said, first part he said, I thank God for his plan for my life. And he said, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, he could have been cool. He could have been sophisticated, you know, just not mention anything along, like just kind of, you know, go with the flow. Who's going to question? He could do it. But publicly, to the whole world, he thanked God for God's plan for his life, whether he won or lost, and his love for the Savior. Well, I thought, I wonder what Neil McRae thought of that. I heard him talk about that one time. It wasn't all pleasant. But I was grateful to hear that testimony. So I was thinking for today, and what I'd like to share with you. And I narrowed it down to Isaiah chapter 49 because I want to talk about God's great plan. He has a plan for Wally Buono, whether he wins or loses the Grey Cup. But God has a plan for you, an absolute personalized plan that is just for you. It's about you, has to do with you. And God will reveal that to you if you are open and desirous to be obedient to him. And so I want to read this passage. I'm aware that its first direction is towards Israel. I'm aware that its direction is towards the Messiah, and I'm aware that it's towards Israel. But I'm personalizing it here this morning. Matter of fact, I wrote inside of my Bible, I wrote FM, which I do that with any passage that kind of speaks to me. It stands for me, FM, for me, for my heart, or AM, all mine. So if you go through my Bible, you'll see AM, FM, AM, FM. Just for me, I mean, just so it makes, I remember that God spoke to me through that. So I trust that God will speak to you through this passage. Let me read it for you. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Would you bow with me? Father, we want to open our hearts and our minds. We ask you to speak to us. Lord, you know who's sitting here in this auditorium here today, and we're here together. I pray, Lord, that we'll clearly hear in our hearts the word of the Lord speaking to us. We thank you for speaking to Israel. We thank you for speaking to our Messiah, Jesus. But, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us, too. And so we surrender ourselves to you. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Does he have a plan? Yes, he does. God has a will. A plan for my life, a will for my life, a plan for your life, a will for your life. And I'm convinced of this, that he wants me to know his will for my life more than I want to know. He's desirous that he'd be able to say, oh, and this is the way, walk ye in it. And so for many years, I've endeavored with some success and some failure to follow that voice of the Lord, to say, God, I know you're up to something here. I want to surrender to you. But I'm suggesting here today that there are five methods, if that's the right word, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but five methods that God uses to prepare us in order that we will be used for his glory and for his divine purposes and intentions. Because God's got intentions. Just as he's got a plan for the world, he's got a plan for Israel, he's got a plan for the Gentile nations. He's got a plan for Valley Church. He's got a plan for your marriage. He's got a plan for Val and I. He's got a plan. And I, more than anything else, I don't want to come up short on that final day and say, you know, I was kind of busy. I never did find out what God's plan is. The reason, you see, you can never know God's plan apart from the Lord because he's the author. He made the blueprints. So only he knows where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing and the focus of what your life will be about. But there are things that I believe that God meshes us with that we can get to know personally what he has for us. And it's a great adventure. Now, not that he writes, don't you wish he'd write it on the wall? You know, you just great wake up some morning, there's the writing for the day. Say, oh, good, that's what I'll do today. No, it's not written on the wall. It's not written, he doesn't often speak with an audible voice, although sometimes he does, but not always. So we have to learn to discern what's the Lord and what's not the Lord, but it's a great journey to do that. So we want to open our hearts together today and look at the what I've just called the five methods to get you and I to a place where God can do his bidding and do his will within us and beyond us. So here it is. Number one, first of all, there is a calling. Nothing goes anywhere until God calls. There is the calling. All of us, to one measure or another, are called. Now, we may not all be obedient to that, and we may end up in the ditch somewhere, completely off track. I'm as a pastor, of course, my job is to help get the sheep back on the track. But I know that many times people get far away from the will of God, and they're really lost. I mean, they may have their sins forgiven, and they may be going to heaven. I'm not questioning that, but I know that they couldn't be more lost if they tried right off the path. So we don't want to be going in that direction. But all of us are called. And this is what this first verse, the Lord called me from the womb. In other words, when you were being born, I believe this, that the Lord was in that room and he was smiling. And when you were born and you separated from your mother's body, God already had that plan in mind. He said, this is what I've got for you. And the voice comes. And named by name. I think perhaps even your name is important. That what they called you, I don't mean the nickname or some other less than desirous name that somebody may have given you, but the name that was intended for you. That's why when we say, when we have baby dedication, say, what is the baby's name? Why? Because we want to pray into that. That name will have significance, as your name has significance, and mine has significance as well. So, all of us are called. Everyone has a calling on their life. And yet, the Lord says, and whom he has predestined, he also called. He was predestined. So whatever he had in the eons gone by, at least for me, on July 15th, 1948, I was born into this world. And my name was supposed to be what it was. I believe that. And I'm supposed to be what I am. You're supposed to be what you are. There's a predestination to that because we're called out of darkness by the Lord. You don't call yourself. You don't make up your own plan. This is a divine thing. This is something from heaven that happened. And then we get conscious of it and say, wow, I see what God has been trying to do for all these years. So we're called out of darkness into a marvelous light to walk with God and to fulfill. In other words, we're not just saved and born again, we're not. That's in order that we just carry on our lives. The Lord saved me because he had intentions. And I don't want to miss this, right? The worst thing, other than rejecting the Lord and not having him in your life, the second worst thing that could ever happen is that you missed it. That you were too busy doing your own thing, that you missed out on the great things that God wanted. So I'm saying, Lord, you know where I am. You know what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm going to press in with you with all of my heart. I want to run towards the finish line. I want to run well. I want to fight well. I want to wrestle well. I want to obey well because I know that there's huge implications with this thing. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel or follow the screen. 1 Samuel, great story. I wish I could spend even more time than I'm just going to read a part of it here. But verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, now he's in the temple, he's sleeping by the Ark of the Covenant, he's sleeping beside it, and the lamps is still burning. He thinks he's alone there. And the Lord said to Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli, who was the priest, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, because you called me." And he said, "I did not call my son. Lie down again." What an insightful next verse. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He's in the temple. He's around spiritual things, but he did not know the Lord. Obviously, that's one of the most important things to know. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you," now here's what, this is beautiful, isn't it? "And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening,'" or "your servant hears." "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came, verse 10, and stood calling as at another time, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Now that story is magnificent. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Why? Because it suggests something, that God can speak in an audible voice and sometimes does. For most, though, I think most people that I've known and worked with over the years, it was, if they heard it, but maybe nobody else heard it, right? I felt you heard God say something audible to you. But mostly, by faith, we believe that he will speak, and he'll speak through his word. He'll speak through different things, which I'll touch on in just a little while here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace." He doesn't pick you because you were anything or I was anything. That's the marvel of this thing. He picks us and chooses us and shapes us and molds us for just because of his grace and mercy. There's no reason why, there's just no reason for it other than that. We're called to a holy calling, not because of our works. Remember that. Because we say, "Well, that person, well, they're pretty impressive and they're eloquent and they're this and they're that and that person, so I'm never going to get on." Oh, it doesn't based on that. I think God will always look for someone who has ears to hear. If you will be obedient to the Lord, God will guide you and direct you. I believe that with all of my heart. That's what he looks for. He looks for someone who will listen and who will obey. Right? He narrows it down, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and his own grace. How delightful for all of us that we're not one in a crowd to God. That message was not even for Eli, it was for Samuel. And I thought, interesting. So we're not one in a crowd, thanks to the Lord. And there's no such thing as an average Christian. We say, "Well, you're average Christian." Oh, there is no such thing. There's not an average Christian. The glorious thing to learn is that all are known one by one. All are known of God. God knows me. That's the marvel of this thing. God knows me. And I know him. I'm grateful for that Holy Spirit revelation. But all are known. You can walk out of here this morning with saying, "I am known of God." And you would be not an average person. You would be here. There's no average people. Each one called by God for God's holy purposes. So there's no such thing as an ordinary man. No such thing as an ordinary woman. Everyone is absolutely different. Different, different, different. There never has been anyone exactly like you in the whole universe or in the history of the world. There's nobody like you or nobody like me. I'm absolutely unique. I'm one of a kind, one off. You know the word unique? You know what that means? It means one of a kind. There can't be two and two. Say, "Well, that's unique and that's pretty unique." No, it's not. Only one is unique. Only one is the original. And the good news is that you're the original. There's nobody like you. There was only one Peter. There was only one Eli. There was only one Elijah. There was only one Adam. Can anybody challenge me otherwise? There's only one. Only one John. Only one Timothy. Wow. Only one Ruth. Only one Esther. Only one David. Only one Solomon. There's only one. No one else was like them at all. They were completely different than the others. So God gave each of us, gave us all a call right from our mother's womb. That's what he said. As you were separated from your mother, plans were already in the offing. And it doesn't matter how old we are, because at any point I can yield myself and be obedient to God, or as anybody can be young for that matter too. So I would say, and I would encourage you this morning to quietly say to the Lord, even right where you, as you're listening to my voice, just quietly to the Lord, say, I'm known to God. God knows me by name, and he's called me to do something. And that's the big thing, isn't it? What has he called me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I doing it? Maybe I'm doing it already. I don't know, right? So that's the power of this thing, is that I'm known to God. I'm not a stranger to God. And if I am a stranger, then that can be changed here this morning. Right? If you say, I feel like I'm a stranger to God, that would be an invitation for me to pray with you and talk with you. Why? Because I would love to introduce you to Jesus. Right? That's how we our Heavenly Father is known, through a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's a starting point. They say, I don't even know if God knows me. I don't know him, that's for sure. Well, you could know him this morning. You could invite him into your heart this morning. I presume that the majority of us know who the Lord is. And we know that he knows us. But when you walk out here to say, wow, what a universe, what sunshine and mountains and greenery and water and all this beautiful thing, but the best thing, God, as you walk out of here this morning, the best thing, I am known by God. He knows me. That's powerful. Then you see everything else, say, oh, it's even better now. Now that I know that he knows me and I know him, I can rejoice in so much. You know, you see beyond, you see that the atheist can see the tree, but it's the person who knows the Lord that wants to hug the tree, right? Because God made that. And we see these things, that, and we are known by the Lord as well, made by God and called to serve him, called for a plan and a purpose. But there's a calling. You didn't get here by accident. There's a calling on your life. And it behooves you, dear ones here today, if you do nothing else for the rest of your days, is to chase, as I hate to not chase after God, because really he's doing the chasing to us. But if you would spend all of your day, Lord, I need to press in, that I don't miss anything about your will for my life. I don't want to be at the, you know, somebody says, my ship finally came in. Yeah, and you were at the airport. How bad is that, right? If your ship's coming in, you want to be there to say, thank you, God. Oswald Chambers, hey, there's only one of him, too. Boy, I can hardly wait to meet that guy. He has so helped me, so encouraged me. And I'm just finishing up some Andrew Murray stuff, and especially about his life story. And I thought, I can't wait to have supper with him either. These are amazing people that have helped me to press in, helped me to understand God's calling on my life. So imagine what that's going to be like. But hey, you are as called as Billy Graham. You are as called as Oswald Chambers. You are as called as Andrew Murray. You were just as called. There's not a special category. There's no average people, right? You are absolutely one, right? Just one kind of person. Nobody like you. And the good news is, we really don't want you to be any different. We kind of like what we see anyway. But just so when you walk out of here today, you want to be able to say, the Lord has called me from the womb. It wasn't some later thing that I fell into. All my life, haven't you had a sense of that? How many here have avoided a near-death situation? Somewhere you could have easily been killed and you weren't. Exactly. Me too. Brody twice. That's right. Because you just say, I don't know what, I should have been killed. Yes, you should have been. Why wasn't I? Why wasn't I killed? Because of God's holy purposes for your life. That's why. And so this is a big thing. This is a big thing. And if you go through life without a sense of calling on your life, you're just crashing into stuff, crashing into this, crashing into that. You know what I mean? I don't know what life's about, crashing into this, ending up in the wrong place. Right? Wrong place, being with the wrong person, doing the wrong thing. Why? I'm just looking for a plan. Yeah. Instead, I say, God, I'm going to trust you and believe that you have a plan for me, because your word says so. Your word tells me that. The Lord called me from the womb. Praise God. All your circumstances, all your situations are all been a part of that. He's called you to do something. Yes, yeah, and maybe a series of things. I don't think it's one thing for me. I don't think it's, okay, there's my one thing. If I got 2 seconds in the limelight here, I'm just going to, I don't think there's probably a number of things. As long as I'm in the right place at the right time, I think that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter how many things there is for me to do. God's called, and here's the question. What has God called you to do? Have you seen some of the shape of it? Have you seen some of the way he has used you so far? How he's used you to encourage people? Because it has to do with the calling. All right, that's the first thing. Number one, God called you from the womb. Number two, there's the shaping. This is the methods that God gets us in the right place. The shaping and the molding to be a weapon for God. In other words, an instrument, a finely tuned instrument. So what happens? Well, there must be the rough material is chosen. We're not quite usually where we're supposed to be when it first starts out. And God begins to shape you. When you come to know the Savior, he begins to shape you. And he begins to mold. That temper has to be dealt with. That impulsiveness has to be dealt with. That, you know, there's things in you and things in me that were not all that pleasant to the Lord. And he wants to deal with that. So we go through some disappointments and some setbacks. And we discover there's the birth of a vision, death of a vision, rebirth of a vision. As we see in Moses' life, there's all kinds of things. Shouldn't have killed the Egyptian in the wilderness. I'm sorry I did. You know, because he left his hand sticking up or something. I don't know how they discovered there was a dead Egyptian. But Moses, you know, thinking he was going to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, he kills the Egyptian. And then he has to spend 40 years in the backside of the desert till he's ready again for the call again to the burning bush. But he did get to that point. But there was disappointments, and there, as there often is, and some trials and some troubles. There is the shaping, there is the molding, there is the chipping, there is the carving, the buffing, all kinds of things. And all we can say, I have a friend that when things go wrong for him, he always says, GMT, GMT. And I remember saying, well, what is that GMT? Great missionary training. So he'd get a flat tire. This is great missionary training, you know, and just do it because he thought that missionaries must train, so this must be great missionary training. So we are shaped so that we can become instruments, weapons, as it were, because the Lord is conscripting us, and now he's going to use us, but the material is a little rough, and you can't, it must be dealt with, it must be worked on. So we're shaped so that we can become these instruments, these finely tuned, polished instruments, a weapon in God's hand. Maybe nothing in ourselves. Remember the rod that Moses had? And they said, it's just a rod. He throw it down. He throws it down. It becomes the rod of God. Right? When he presented that to God, it became a powerful, powerful thing that created miracles and parted the Red Sea. It's an amazing thing. That rod that budded was an incredible instrument only in God's hand. It became the rod of God. So here in chapter 49 and verse 2, what is the purpose of this? He said, I was a sharp mouth, a sharp tongue for the Lord, a sharp sword. See, you may be in the quiver, but you need to be a sharp sword, as I do. As you do. And so, Lord, you must polish me and you must shape me and mold me, keep on doing that. That's an important thing. But the first thing is the rough stuff off our lives so that the direction, say, now, before I did my own thing, now I'm doing God's thing. And before I would have done this, now I'm yielding to the Lord more and more and more. Maybe not perfectly, but substantially. So I encourage you, don't be dismayed if there's certain things that it seems like it's, I've been going through some trials. Yes, trials are part of it. Not everything. It's not all about trials, but some of it has to do with trials. And that's the second thing. Number one, the calling of God. And number two, the cutting off of the rough stuff so that a sharp instrument can come forth from that. That begins with number three. Number three, the polishing of my heart. Chapter 49 and verse 2, a polished arrow. So here, let me ask you a question. See if you're caught on to this. Have you ever wondered, why your church, and sometimes through the pastors, sometimes through other people, and sometimes through the elders, wherever else it might have come from, but why does the church encourage you to give your heart to Jesus? Now, don't have to answer it, just think about it. Because we do, right? Well, first you say, have you given your heart to Jesus yet? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Why does the church encourage you to give your heart to the Lord? Why does the church encourage you to get baptized? Think about that. Think about that. Why does the church encourage you to be filled with the Spirit? Why does the church encourage you to become a member? What's that about? Why does the church encourage me to offer my life in service to the King? Why does the church encourage me to serve? Why does the church encourage me to get involved in a small group? What is that? Why are all these? Because you've not felt that? Have you not felt that they're kind of encouraging us to enter this or take that course or do this or do that? Well, it's because it's not so that we can get your money. We're not against your money, but it's not why we're trying to get it. It's not that we're trying to control your life, where the church is making all kinds of demands. It's because we want you to be a highly polished instrument, a weapon for the Lord. And we think these could be some of the ways that that would steer you and encourage you, as it has for the rest of us. You see, the shaft, the spear, not only has to be molded for use, but it must be polished to be of any use. God's great plan is that you and I would be useful. That's one of the best revelations I've had in actually my whole life. I remember actually when I first had a sense of that. And I was a lot younger then, but I still remember that somehow God wanted me to be useful. And that's what he wants for you too. He wants you to be useful for him. And so when we encourage you in these things, it's not so that we can control your life and add one more thing to your already busy life, but that we think if these were your priorities, you would really go places. You'd really be used of the Lord if you would press in and involve yourself, not in everything, but in key things that cause more polishing. So God's work, and this is this is what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that God's work requires a lot of refinement. A lot of refinement. It's God's work is so delicate. It's really delicate. The work of the Lord is delicate. There must be not just a hewing off of the rough, but there must be a fine polishing. Why? Because the work of the Lord calls for it. Requires a delicate touch. It requires fine tuning. So, and for example, let me give you an example to pray for others. Let's just say I said, which I might, maybe I will call us up here afterwards to stand in the presence of Jesus, but let's just say I said, please come, I don't like prayer, please come forward. And then I suppose I said, Ken, or a couple of Kens here, Ken, come up and pray. It's not just anybody, I suppose, could walk to the front and pray for somebody, but not to do it sensitively. It requires a great sensitivity to pray for somebody, does it not? I don't know what I'm going to pray about. What if I'm not praying? Well, they come up forward for prayer. How do I know? Their life's in the balance here, maybe. Maybe they're on the verge of despair. Maybe they're overwhelmed with discouragement. Maybe they're in great physical pain. Maybe they're going through some hard times. I don't know. And so I just say, oh, yeah, I'll go and pray for you. Yeah. No. You see, why there must be polishing so that we just know there's a sensitive person will come in and there's maybe praying in the Spirit and then laying hands on that person. Well, and take it beyond that, even witnessing. It's not anybody can open their mouth and blab, but boy, to say something in season, to say something that really defines who the Lord is and what his plan for our life, that's something else. To come alongside somebody, you're riding a bus or you're stopped getting some gas or something, a little conversation stirs up. This is exciting stuff, but it's not just for anybody. You come alongside somebody, you better have the goods. Right? You need to be sensitized. I need to be sensitized to this. Because I've been called. It's like surgery or something, only of the soul. Where, when to speak. Hey, how about this? When not to speak. When to listen. So that I'm listening to the Lord and I'm obeying His promptings. Can you imagine if somebody does come forward and they come to pray for him and they're just praying and all of a sudden they said, you know, it just seems funny. I don't think your Uncle Henry is your real problem. I just have a feeling here that you felt really disappointed with God and you felt really rejected by God and by a church. Am I right about that? And that person tears start coming down. They said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And the amazing sensitivity that came because you were a polished instrument. Well, could God use a rough one? Sure he could. Does he? Yeah. Yeah, right out of the clear blue. Take somebody totally unlikely in some ways and uses them. But not as a general rule. As a general rule, he uses the people that are fine-tuned. So we listen to the Spirit of God and we obey his promptings. That's why it comes down from the call of God to the shaping, roughing down, getting the rough parts, to the more delicate part of being polished by God so that I listen and I obey his prompting. So someone comes across my path, well, then we must guide them. And I'm not speaking as a pastor, I'm talking about as an individual. That we must guide them, we must encourage them in some way. How do we do that? Oh, only by being really close to God. Only by having it work in our hearts and our lives. Here's the skinny on this thing. If God is using you, and wonderful if he is in your life, if he's using your life. If he's using you, it's probably because your soul is polished. That's probably it. The shaft has been polished. It's been polished by the Holy Spirit of God because you wanted it to be. You desired it to be. You weren't happy with just where the rank and file are. You know, the average. There isn't anybody average if you're set aside for God. You're not average. But you want to be that person who God has called, who God is using. So what are we doing then? Why do we say, join this thing, take that class, learn how to minister, learn what spiritual warfare is about, study about the second coming, study about Israel. Why do we have that? We have that because God is getting us ready for the delicate work of ministry. That's what you're being prepared for. The delicate work of ministry. Ministering to this situation, that woman, that man, coming alongside. That person's got so many problems, and there you are called by the Lord just to encourage them, inspire them, and help them. And someone told me, maybe it was Roberta, said that Randy was in the hospital bed, and there was a man beside him who he's had a chance to pray with. An unsaved man laying right in the bed beside him. And Roberta said Randy had an opportunity to pray for that individual. Boy, whatever we find ourselves, right? Whatever situation, there's an opportunity for ministry. So he must have been sensitive to that, right? He must have sensed. So would you mind if I prayed for you? And the man didn't mind at all. So I said, God, make me sensitive. Let me be one of those polished weapons in your hand. That my whole life that I could say, God, you were glorified through me. And that I went on in the things of God. The delicate work of the ministry. So God calls us not to be shafts. He calls us to be polished shafts. That's like a spear. He calls us not to be dull spearheads. But polished shafts with which he can engage in battle. See, the Lord wants to engage in battle and win battles. So he looks for those instruments that are finely tuned. Again, not perfect people, not even, they're not anything but in some ways, but people who really want to be used of God. And God honors that and God hears that and he begins to use us. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is the intimacy of the hidden life. That's what the writer says. He, in the shadows of his hand, he hid me. Who knew? He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. In the shadow of his hand, he's hid me. What is that about? Well, all I know is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it talks about your life hidden with Christ in God. I wonder if that's maybe part of it. But perhaps it has more to do with the one who looks to himself for power only looks in vain. I've got nothing. You've got nothing. I'll come up with nothing. Right? And all I wrote here, oh, to be hidden in the hand of God. There's something about the hiding place. Because here there's intimacy. And your interior self is really important to God. So he hides us. We're not always up front doing what but we let the Lord hide us. There's praise and communion and worship and adoration and comfort and peace. All this personal relationship stuff with the Lord. So God doesn't care so much about the work of the Lord, but he's really involved and really interested in the worker. You know, God can raise up a work like that. And he does, and he has. But that's not his real intention. His real intention, folks, is you. It's me. That's his intention. That's what he has in mind more than anything else in the whole world, is that he wants to use me. I thought maybe, you know, you come to know the Lord, you end up going to heaven, but what's in between? No, the whole thing is that this hiding, this secret thing. In other words, people, as you walk down the street, nobody knows what kind of relationship you have with the Lord. We don't know that. But if you have one, there's something very powerful about it. Secretly, right here, we are, their strength comes because you were hidden by God. We're not always up front doing stuff. There's an interior work going on. I think there is an interior work. And God's concerned about it. I think that's why, by the way, how many here have ever had gone through a dry spell with your devotions and for the life of you can't seem to kickstart your devotions? Yeah, yeah. Anybody not come this way? The same crowd. Well, it must be the same people. Me too. And I wonder even this morning, in just a few minutes when I close, if we shouldn't even come and stand before the Lord and have somebody pray over us. Because I think there can be almost like an opposition where you say, you know, for a while ago I was having really, now I'm kind of, I can't seem to find a passage and TV seems more interesting than private time. But what we're concerned about is to make sure that you are hidden, that you have that relationship with the Lord where you're hidden in Jesus, that you can hide in there. You can, here's intimacy. Your interior life is very, very important. I don't understand it fully, but I know this. That sometimes I can rely on my personality and I can rely on my, just from doing certain things for so many years, you just rely on it. And the Lord says, I want your strength coming out of your alone time. I want your strength coming out of that prayer time. But I would be honored and glad to pray for anybody and to pray for each other that the Lord, because that to me, you either make it or break it in your prayer time, right? That's where it happens. Your time alone with the Lord. But I think that's the part where sometimes the enemy can really, we can get very dry and dusty and rusty and musty, any other word we could put on that. And that time needs to be sharpened and made alive again so that we can get back to hearing the voice of the Lord. So when once these four things are being accomplished, calling, molding, polishing, and the hidden life, when these are done to the weapon, then comes the use of the weapon. The last thing of it, these four things that happen, calling, molding, polishing, now it becomes for the use of it. And I wrote in my column here, the living weapon in the hands of God. God asks for my faithfulness, but not for my success. He's not so concerned about my success as he is my faithfulness. In other words, I will do what I do, you will do what you do, and God will, because of your faithfulness, God will bless that, not necessarily because you're so successful at it. So he asks us to obey his orders, but he takes responsibility for it. He wants me to say, yes, Lord, as we sang this morning here, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord, to you. So we are not really powers for good until we are prepared to go anywhere. Now make a note of this. When I'm prepared to go anywhere, when I'm prepared to do anything for the Lord, That's when this gets really interesting. By the way, not many people know this. When Brother Pritchard was alive in all the years that I've known him, you know that he never owned a house, ever. Ever. Lived in the same apartment for 40 years. It must be 40 years. 1973, I think it was. And you know why he didn't ever own a house? Because he saw himself as a Levite. That's why. The Levites were not allowed to own property. The Lord was their inheritance. And he said one time when someone asked him about it, they said, if God calls me to go here, I wouldn't be able to go because the house prices are too low. I couldn't go over here because this and that. He said, you see, I have some reason why I wouldn't be able to do ministry. Because, so here's an interesting man, right? So interesting. He was consistent with that from the time he was called. He was a boy preacher at 17 years of age. And he honored that in his life. He wanted to be available to the Lord. And not have something, oh, I can't do that because I'm going to lose some money. The Lord was his inheritance. I thought, there's a lesson here that I'm hearing. And it doesn't mean you're supposed to go and sell your house. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying there was a conviction that there was a calling on his life. And may there be that same conviction on our lives together. So, we consciously choose under the shadow of the hand of God to go anywhere and to do anything for him. Again, you're catching this, right? The calling, the molding, the polishing, the quietness, the hiddenness, and then the usefulness. Now the usefulness that we're able to say that Lord, if there are 300 of us here today on this Sunday, or 400 of us, so that Lord, may there be a forest of 400 gleaming spearheads at the disposal of God. Because that's what this is about, putting yourself at the disposal of God. He's not so, you don't worry about your success. Just worry about your obedience. It's not your IQ, it's your OQ. It's not your intelligent quotient, it is your obedient quotient. That I was obedient to the Lord. That I consciously surrendered, Lord, I will go anywhere, I will do anything for you, I will be one of those, if there is 400 of us here, gleaming spearheads at your disposal here and now. And can you imagine, picture that. I mean, if we're using a metaphor of a spear and arrows, and here's all, and only it's us. Here we are, called, chosen, the rough taking off and an ongoing way. And hidden with the Lord, and now available. 500, maybe there'd be more of us. Spears for God, put in his quiver. 400, 500 polished shafts that he may shoot with, so that we are able to say, to this end was I born, and for this cause did I come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. But that's why we're here. We're here to make ourselves available to God, who already chose us, called us, set us aside, brought us into the secret place, and now wants to say, rise up. I want to use you. I want you to rise. I don't want you to be falling asleep. It's not the hour to be asleep, is it? That much we know. That much we know for sure. It's not the hour to be sleeping. It's because the world is moving. Everything's on the move, folks. Everything is on the move. And I'd hate to think that we were saying, well, no, we were just not tuned in. We have an opportunity to be tuned in. And God will do the work. This is the good news about it. He just says, give me your heart. I'll do the work. I'll do the shaping, the molding. But I want your permission. So I can say, God, I want to be one of those polished shafts so badly that even at any point in my life that I could hear God's voice and be available. Wholly available, that the Lord can fling me out, take you, sharpened. You've been alone with the Lord. You're conscious of maybe the rest of the world. You know, we're all walking to work, perhaps. You know how it is. Nobody knows. You see the people just going hustling and bustling. I was parked under on Broadway and Commercial. I said to Val, look at all these people here. There's just a steady, just feet, all you can see is just feet going over your head here. Just hundreds and thousands of people there in the course of a day. And I thought, we're all going somewhere. Aren't we? We're all going somewhere. I don't know where they're all going. But hey, listen, what's really important is that you know where you're going. That in the midst of a troubled world, that I have a feeling that this next year is going to be one of the most momentous years, prophetically in every other way, that we'll probably see for a long time. And we're here. So I just found myself, I stir myself. I don't want to be some religious guy asleep. And I know you don't want to miss it either. I'm not talking about eternal life, primarily. I'm speaking of your life, my life. That I've entered the training program. Keep the arrow sharp. To be sharp. Be loving, to be kind, but to be sharp. To know that we're on assignment. That you are, God is calling you. God is calling you. And when we come, if I think maybe we should maybe come forward, even for those that are having a difficult time with their devotions. I don't know why, I wasn't planning on saying that even, but I have a sense about that today. That you have a little while ago, you were doing pretty good, and it was really rich and meaningful, and somehow, whatever happened, you had company or something else happened, you went on that trip, you come back, now you can't seem to get back into the groove again. Right? You know, there is a good thing that we get into, and we can get out of it. Val and I always go through stuff like this, where I'll be really into my devotion, and she'll be struggling. Next time, she's really into something, and I'm struggling. So it's an ongoing thing. So stand with me, if you would. All I can tell you is this: every time that I have said consciously, like in a meeting like this, where I said, God, polish me some more, that I can be more effective. God has always honored that in my life. And he starts cranking up things for me to be involved in, and people's lives, hearts to be touched. Because I'm sensitive. No, not in myself, but because I said yes to God. Because I was hidden in the quiver. Because I allowed him to shake off and cut off some things. A little bit more polishing. So, here we are. This is one of those times when you can look back. If you write in your journal tonight, you say, Pastor Owen spoke this morning on availability to God. He spoke about God's great plan. And wouldn't that be great if you write, and I responded. I once again dedicated, rededicated, triple dedicated, whatever times you've done it, to the Lord, so that I wouldn't miss his plan. I said yes, so I wouldn't miss his plan. And what I think maybe I'll do this morning, we'll, as it were, do two things. If you're here and you say, I have really struggled with my devotional life, we're just going to have a bunch of us just pray over you. So if that's you, come up and stand here. Just find a spot. Yeah, just stand in the presence of the Lord. We all know that. Sometimes, you know, I can be watching too much TV. That can really kill you. Sometimes I can watch too much sports. That can kill you too. But you need to be able to have that time to hear from the Lord. And just crowd in. There's just as much as you can. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, here we are. Just in the presence of Jesus, our lovely Lord. Thank you, God. And he's calling you like he did Samuel of old. Samuel. That simple little words, eh? Yes, Lord. Your servant is speaking, is listening. So would you just do that right here this morning? Would you just say yes in your heart? No one else needs to see that. Just yes in your heart. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, give us a trained ear. Hear the voice of the Spirit. Oh, God. Lord, we know that the great attack on the church is so that we would be lazy and flabby and out of shape and out of tune, caught up in the things of this world. And so, Lord, we just know that that will be our destiny too, unless you make this really real. So we surrender to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here today and you've had just a real bear cat of a time with your devotion, you just haven't been able, normally it's a good thing, but it's just been really difficult. Just put both your hands, just as if you were just going to praise the Lord. Just raise your hands to him. Thank you, Lord. Shalom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, God. Father, we want to read your word. And we want to spend time alone in the quiver. We want our lives to be hidden with Christ in God. And Lord, we've just all felt just inundated with just so many other things that just seem to be so hard. So Lord, I pray in the strong name of Jesus, Lord, surely you will protect our times that we want to spend time with you. And so God, I pray protection over every person here who's seeking a better prayer life and is seeking a time alone to be hidden with God. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray against the work of the enemy, the hinderer who has been hindering. And so, Lord, now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just say, break every stronghold, break every hindrance, break everything that just has kind of clouded the thinking, and it's kind of so, it just seems so dull, and yet not television, and not other things. And so, God, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters right here today. Touch each one. Let there be an anointing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, on everybody here. An anointing for our intimate time with you. Thank you, God, especially as we go into this Christmas season and so many other voices calling. Oh, God, give us ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Give us a hunger that draws us to prayer. And Lord, even fix our minds on what scripture to read. Let there be a passage come, even now. Let there just be, whether it's Isaiah or John or Matthew or Jude or whatever else it would be, Father, Timothy, whatever. I just pray now, direct our thoughts to where we should be reading next. What chapter should we pick up again? Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Brother Richard, would you just pray a prayer over us regarding the Spirit of the Lord? The anointing of God upon our hearts. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, the anointing. Praise you. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah, holy desires. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Maybe just put your hand, just keep your eyes closed, keep us focused on the Lord here. Just put your hand on someone on your right-hand side. there's anybody just near you, just put your hand on them. Father, we pray for that person on our right-hand side. And we just say, touch them. And refresh them. And anoint them. And may the cry of their heart be answered before you. I pray that everybody here, Lord, will know something of the will of God and the plan of God for their life. To make the greatest impact in the world. Oh, Father, thank you. Blow away the confusion. Blow away the low self-esteem. They would say, well, maybe God probably wouldn't speak to me. Lord, I pray that there will be a really beautiful thing would happen to every person on our right-hand side in the name of Jesus. And Lord, then we pray for the other person on the other side. We say, God, touch them. Touch them. Touch them for your glory. Thank you, God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, we pray. We're standing here, God, as a people called to this 21st century. And we pray, Lord, that we will be like those shafts, those spears, glistening, ready for the Master to fling us in any direction he desires. Lord, whatever you want to send me as an arrow to somebody, oh, make it so, God, make it so. Lord, we're asking for more here today. We're asking for to bring the increase, to bring that anointing in the midst of a busyness and a season that's known for busyness. I pray, God, there will be something very light and refreshing about our hearts. Thank you, God. And we bless you. In the name, strong name, beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Give somebody a hug. Would you do that before you sit it down? And I don't think we come out to the patio if you're able to. I think it's still half decent out there, not too cold. Thanks for being here this morning.